I ask you to open your Bible to the Gospel of Luke chapter 10, Luke's Gospel, the 10th chapter. We will read a very familiar and encouraging story and then think about it together. Luke 10, beginning with verse 38. Now as they, that's Jesus and his disciples, now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. This Sunday morning, the last Sunday of the old year, all the way up to Easter Sunday, which is 12 weeks away, I would like to preach for you a series of sermons that I have titled, When God Repeats Your Name. Maybe a better title would be, When Heaven Calls Your Name. But there is something special about those episodes in Holy Scripture when God, or the Lord Jesus, repeats a person's name. On numerous occasions, the Lord will say something or address a person. He will say something like Elijah, or David, or Jeremiah, or John, and then he will proceed to give that individual a very specific revelation and message. But there are 8 times in the Old and New Testament when there is such an urgency that God repeats a person's name. Like when Moses is at the burning bush that isn't consumed and God is ready to call him into ministry to lead Israel to the promised land from their slavery to Egypt, he says, Moses, Moses. On one occasion, God arouses a young boy from his sleep to press him into the ministry of the prophet for Israel's sake, and he says, Samuel, Samuel. Over in the New Testament, there is a man who hates Jesus, and he hates his people, and he has orders in his pocket to rescue, to arrest and persecute Christians. And while he's on the Damascus Road, the risen Lord appears to him and says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Over an unrepentant city, Jesus says, Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would have gathered you under my wings as a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not. And here in this story, Jesus says to Martha, Martha, Martha. And there are other stories. Abraham, Abraham. Jacob, Jacob. Simon, Simon. These 8 episodes where God the Father or Jesus repeats the name of a person. Why does it matter? Well, the reason is twofold. In Scripture, it seems clear that when a name is repeated, both urgency and affection are being communicated. In other words, when the Lord says, Abraham, Abraham, or Jacob, Jacob, or Martha, Martha, He is communicating a critical issue of deep spiritual significance. It's like saying, you really need to hear this. You really need to listen to this. But at the same time, it is always in a voice or a tone of intimacy and love. In all eight of those episodes, the repetition of a person's name is a form of communication of intense devotion for the person and affection for that individual. So there's urgency. But within the urgency, there is the communication of intimacy and love. And to help us to get started on this series, I want us to consider this very familiar story of Jesus' visit to the village of Bethany, where in a moment of deep affection and tender rebuke, and because the situation for Martha is urgent, Jesus will repeat her name. Martha, Martha, you're worried, you're bothered, you're upset about so many things. Only one thing is necessary. And Jesus wants her to embrace it lovingly and with urgency. For here Jesus will teach Martha, and He will teach us that there is only one absolute must that we must do. And that is, we must listen to Jesus. I wonder if you can hear Him now saying your name. Mitchell. Mitchell. Well, let's look at the story. It begins in verse 38. Now, as they were on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed Him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to His teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. Martha and Mary are sisters. And elsewhere we're told in the Bible that their brother's name is Lazarus, whom Jesus will soon raise from the dead. And this small family knew Jesus. They had met Him and welcomed Him often into their home. They loved Jesus. They called Jesus Lord. And it was the ambition of their lives to be His devoted disciples. And one day Jesus came for a visit, likely unscheduled, unannounced. He shows up with His disciples in tow, and Martha, after welcoming her guest into her home, busies herself with the preparation of a meal. And the reason is because Martha is a servant, and that's a very good thing. She is devoted to hospitality. We need servants. We need to be a servant. The Scriptures do say, serve the Lord with gladness. And her actions are appropriate. But unlike her busy sister, Mary chose to take the posture of humility. And the text says that she sat at the feet of Jesus to listen to Him. She's there, bowed low at his feet. And in the ancient world, to sit at a person's feet, to take the posture of a humble listener, was a way of saying, you are great and I am small in comparison. And frequently in the Gospels, people either bow at Jesus' feet or they fall at Jesus' feet. Like the Magi bowed in worship before the Christ child and presented him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Or how a healed leper threw himself on his face at Jesus' feet, singing his praises and expressing gratitude to him. And in the book of Revelation, John sees the risen Christ and he falls down in worship before Christ. What may surprise you is that there is even a story in the Old Testament where a soldier whose name was Joshua bowed at the feet of the Lord. It's at the end of Joshua 5 where Joshua is near the city of Jericho, contemplating, perhaps praying, how he might win the battle against that well-fortified city. When a short distance away, he sees a soldier. He rushes over to the soldier and he asks a question, are you for us or are you for our adversaries? The soldier replies, neither. But it is the commander of the Lord of hosts, meaning the Lord's armies, that I come to you. And in his soul, he knew that it was the Lord. And Joshua fell down on his face before the Lord. My own view of it is that this is an Old Testament appearance of Christ. One of those pre-incarnate manifestations of God, the second person of the Trinity. Jesus is there. It's holy ground. And Joshua is on his face. And he asks a second question, an utterly crucial question. What does my Lord say to his servant? Did you hear that? In the posture of a humble learner, Lord, I want to listen. What do you want to say to me? What's your good word to me? What message does my Lord have for his servant? And my argument is that Mary, like Joshua, wanted to hear the voice of Jesus. She wanted to listen to Christ. A.W. Tozer put it this way. Probably there is no better picture anywhere in the Bible of the right place for us and the right place for God. God was speaking and Joshua was on his face listening. When God and us are in a relationship, this must be the ideal. God must be the communicator, and we must be the listening, obeying attitude. If we are not willing to assume this listening attitude, there will be no meeting with God in personal spiritual experience. And this probably explains why, Tozer writes, there are so many shallow, empty Christian believers in our day. We are neglecting the discipline of listening. Unlike the psalmist who says, oh, how I love your law, I will not neglect your word. When it comes to hearing Jesus, are you a good listener? A humble listener? Do you give him regular and rapt attention as you read his word to listen to his voice? That was the choice Mary made, to sit at the feet of Jesus to listen to His Word. And we are left in no doubt as to how Martha felt about Mary's choice. We read again in verse 40. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to Him and said, Lord, do You not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. Martha was miffed. And you got to admit, it really takes a lot for Martha to interrupt Jesus, to question the Lord's care for her, and then tell Jesus what to do. This is exactly what she did. Essentially, Martha says, Jesus, Mary has left me to do all the serving. There just might be something very special about that word left that expands the story a bit. Here is a possible way, I think, a likely way to think about it based on the weight that word carries. When Jesus and His disciples arrived, Mary and Martha together began to prepare a meal. But there was a moment when Jesus was poised to speak truth. And as the disciples gathered around their rabbi and sat at His feet, Martha left the kitchen. And she took the posture of a humble listener. And she sat at His feet. While Martha remained in the kitchen. And the busier she got, the more irritated she got. Until she reached the boiling point and said to Jesus, tell her to help me. And you know, I get the idea. In fact, one commentary said that in the Greek text, she expected Jesus to agree with her. I think it's pretty clear in the English. Tell her to help me. But there was no way that our Lord was going to deprive Mary of the privilege of sitting at His feet by sending her back into the kitchen. And so it's at that moment when God repeats her name. Martha, Martha. It's an urgent matter. But here this gentle rebuke is couched in warmth and love. In fact, the message, which is a paraphrase of the Bible, really captures the tone of it all. It reads, Martha, dear Martha. He cares about this woman. She is a faithful, diligent servant, a disciple of Christ. Her priorities are just a bit jumbled. And Martha has made a mistake. And Jesus is poised to help her. The verse actually reads, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about this meal you're preparing, about all these things. But one thing is necessary. Just one thing that we absolutely must do, Martha. It's the good portion. And it can never be taken away from you. J.I. Packer writes this, let's learn that we ought to have space in our lives for doing what Mary did, spending time with the Word of God, listening from Jesus, learning from Jesus by listening to Him, which is the most important activity of our lives. If you go back to that story of Joshua for a moment, I was reading a sermon by a minister of another generation, Alan Redpath. And he gives just one sentence that is so priceless. Listen to it. Beware of the barrenness of a busy life. Beware of the barrenness of a busy life. That we can become so busy and we can get so fatigued in our busyness that we neglect the one thing that absolutely matters. And that is the Word of God. And what it means to bow at the feet of Jesus with the Word of God open, because that's the way we come to His feet today, by means of His inscripturated revelation. And we look to Him and we say, "Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening." What message does my Lord have today for His servant? All of us are busy, I know. We spend a lot of times, and I created a list, doing chores and cleaning house. Well, maybe somewhat on that second one. Catching up on emails, posting on Facebook, enjoying family and friends, watching a game or movie like Star Wars. I've seen it twice. We spend time. We have things that we must do and things that we like and enjoy doing. But in all the busyness, there is soul emptiness and barrenness if we do not give plenty time to the holy discipline of cultivating God in living personal experience. And so, like Mary, we should bow at the feet of Christ. We should see that not only as our first duty, but our highest privilege, to sit at the feet of Jesus, to listen to His Word. I wonder this morning, is it possible that God the Holy Spirit, by His Word, you hear Jesus repeating your name? Mitchell, Mitchell. There's urgency in His voice. There is affection in His tone. Mitchell, Mitchell. Your priorities are all out of place, all in a jumble. You are not too busy to read my word. You are not too busy to listen to me. Don't fail to come to my feet and to sit there and to day after day after day just listen to me. As we finish up the sermon, don't miss the promise that Jesus gave to Martha. At the end of verse 42, He says, "But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. For when the Word of God is yours, it is yours forever." So here's a question as we close. Did Martha learn her lesson? There's no indication in these verses. Did she respond to the urgent and affectionate rebuke of Jesus? Well, over in John 11, Lazarus has died. Mary comes to Jesus, and then Martha comes to Jesus, and she's face to face with Jesus. and she makes a confessional statement that has been called one of the sweetest and most hopeful confessions of statements ever uttered by a human being. Where she says to Jesus, I believe that you are the resurrection. And it's in the tones of worship that you hear Martha speak. And no one could have taught her those truths at that time save Jesus. She learned her lesson. And the great question is, as we close out this year and go into this new year, will we learn from His gentle rebuke? And be a people who sit at His feet and listen to Him. Oh, I hope that we will. Let us pray together. Eternal and Holy Father, grant to us by Your Holy Spirit such a work of powerful grace in our souls that we become a people of holy resolve, that we see it as an utter necessity, as the one absolute must do, as the one needful thing, to not neglect Your word. To say to You, what message does my Lord have for his servant? And to humbly and reverently and joyously find our places low at Jesus' feet, that we might hear truth. And as we rise up, that truth might sanctify us to live for Your glory and for the good of this world, every moment of every day. Speak, Lord, Your servants are listening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.